The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health, as long as from a natural point of view, without, you know, drugs or surgery, but we'll answer questions on those as well. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Hope you're having a great time and you're out and about, but you're listening to us. And, you know, we have an interesting program and one that is, you know, kind of misunderstood, but in studio to help me get through the maze of this, somebody who, you know, generally a whole lot smarter than I am anyway. hi, Sue.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm doing the morning thing for you now.
Yeah, yes, you are. You are doing the morning thing. You are getting up. I'm really proud of you. Anyway, we're going to talk about something that is wreaking havoc, if you will, in Western civilization. And it's as old as ever, but it's getting progressively worse. We're going to talk about cardiovascular disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we talk about misunderstood and people are dying. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, in the traditional allopathic world, the fix is sometimes worse than the disease process.
Yes, it is.
You know, we went to a conference about four weeks ago. Time passes now. I don't remember how long ago that was. But anyway, we heard a medical physician make a statement that kind of, you know, I said, yeah, you know, guy's talking my own language. And he said that anybody who has atrial fibrillation should never be treated medically unless they have underlying cardiovascular disease.
Right.
Because if you treat them with drugs, you will produce the condition that you're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Why?
Well, because you're not going, you're band-aiding it. You're not going to the root of the cause, the root of the problem. All right. And that's the same problem that we have with a lot of the different methods that we use to treat cardiovascular disorder. The cure is often worse than the disorder. And the whole point of it is cardiovascular disease is a lifestyle problem for the majority of people. There is a small group of people that have physical abnormalities in their heart, for whatever the reason. It could be genetic, it could be something that happened at birth, it could be a lot of different things, but that occupies a very small quadrant of the people who have cardiovascular disorders. The majority of the disease we have that we call heart disease comes as a result of lifestyle. And again, we're looking at putting a band-aid on a lot of the symptom patterns that we have instead of going back and saying, well, what caused this in the first place? Why was this person perfectly healthy during their childhood, their early teens and early 20s, and now all of a sudden they've got some high blood pressure, they've got some cholesterol problems, their heart flips around in their chest periodically? What's going on that changed their body's physiology to cause trouble and the heart starting to respond to those changes?
Well, that's the whole point. The thing is that if you can find out the why behind it, then you have a better understanding of the progression of what's taking place. And in our society today, we're seeing more and more cardiovascular problems. We're looking at about 370,000 deaths per year.
That's right.
And it's the leading cause of death among the population in general. And unfortunately, you know, when you look at a preventable situation, but also morbidity, you know, not just mortality, but morbidity.
Yeah.
It's something that steals the life from people and doesn't allow them to have what was naturally theirs from birth.
And a lot of the side effects of the medication procedures we use creates that morbidity so that they are losing their vitality. They are losing their abilities to recuperate and rehabilitate any potential damage to the heart. Because the issue is, it's like if you cut an artery, yes, you can put a Band-Aid on it, but it doesn't fit it doesn't fix the problem with the artery until you stitch the artery up.
Yep, absolutely.
And so we're doing the same thing with heart disease. We're going towards using a chemical to fix a lifestyle problem, and you can't fix it that way. You've got to fix the lifestyle behind it. And it's never too late to do that.
Well, unfortunately, as you said, you know, and alluded to, the chemistry that they use preventively, proactively, and so forth, cause major problems in of themselves. They deplete the body, and we're going to get into that a little bit. You know, it's just a quick story for our listeners. Some of them have heard it before. But 2 years ago, I went, and I like to go every couple of years to get an echocardiogram and a treadmill test and so forth, only for the purpose of seeing how far I can push myself and if there's any things that I've got to tweak, and we're going to tweak them nutritionally and on a natural platform. So I walk into this physician's office, this cardiovascular guy, and I fill out the forms. Never met this man before in my life. And the first thing they come back with is that, doctor, you forgot to fill out the part about medications. And I said, I don't take medications. And so the next, I went into the intake, and I had my flat EKG done, and they took my vitals, and the intake nurse came over, and she said, Dr. Rozelle, you forgot to enter the medications you take. I said, let me make it really easy for you. In 43 years, I've had four rounds of antibiotics for a bone infection in my mouth, and that's all I have. And she said, well, you don't take it. I said, what's my blood pressure? She said, 118 over 70. I said, and that's because you've got me stirred up. And so we went through that, right? So then I go through all the rest of the testing, and I go in to see the doc. And he's sitting there. Here's an overweight guy. And he's sitting behind his desk, looking at his computer, and he's got his glasses at the, you know, the tip of his nose. And he's looking over the top of me. And he said, well, you have a very minimal systolic murmur. And I said, doctor, isn't that consistent with somebody who's been an intense athlete their entire life? And if there's no symptoms, it's inconsequential. It means absolutely nothing, particularly if everything else shows up the right way. Then he looks at me. He says, well, at your age, you have a 12.5% chance of having a heart attack within the next 10 years. So I looked at him, and I'm not making friends at this point, and I said, is that somebody my age or somebody my age who's in the condition that I'm in? And he says, well, he says, you need to be put on a statin and an aspirin preventatively.
Note he didn't answer your question.
Note he did not. And I said, oh, really? And I said, well, I said, I'm sure you know about the studies. And I quoted the one that was published in New England Journal of Medicine that that you have to treat 100 guys for 5 years with a statin to prevent one heart attack. And I said, I'm sure you know that the FDA reversed their position on aspirin in 2014. And I'm sure you read that article. He says, I owe you standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up and I stood in front of him, over him, and I said to him, no, doctor, I said, next time, diagnose the patient that's in front of you, not the computer. And I had a couple other words that were not polite to put it, and then I turned around and walked out. But that's typical.
Yes. Well, and they're being given a standard of care that is promoted through the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, let's face it, this is a profit-driven industry, and statin drug is a very, very lucrative medication. So is metformin. So are a number of different blood pressure medications. And I'm not saying that, well, maybe with the exception of statins, that some of these other things might not be indicated in certain situations, but it still comes back down to the fact that you're fixing or trying to fix with a chemical that produces side effects and depletes nutrients from the body. You're trying to fix a lifestyle situation with a pill. And let's face it, a good diet isn't fixed by a pill. Exercise is not fixed by a pill.
Not even close. You know, Bayer Aspirin makes $1.3 billion per year on aspirin.
I know.
I mean, that's it, just aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
And the total funding, the total cost, including surgeries and so forth that have to do with cardiovascular problems, is $200 billion per year out of our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about national debt. we fix this, we eliminate a lot of problems across the board. And we're not even talking about the sequela, the side consequences of all
well,
that.
Well, we have to also go back 70, 80 years. All right. Look at the heart disease problem we had 70, 80 years ago. Nothing like we have now. Why all of a sudden are we creating generations of people with faulty heart disease or faulty hearts and faulty circulatory systems? I don't think things have changed physiologically. I think what we do to ourselves is what the difference is. People were healthier, even though the nutrients weren't as good. They didn't know as much about medicine as they do now. They didn't have procedures that helped. Going back 70, 80 years ago, people were healthier purely because they had better lifestyles. And we're talking lifestyle medicine here.
So, Sue, I mean, you head up our functional medical nutrition area in the office, and you see these patients come in from all over the place. What do you see as a constant relative to, yep, this patient is checking all the boxes, and yep, they're a cardiovascular patient, they're a high blood pressure patient. Where's all this coming from?
Okay. One, they don't get enough sleep, or if they do try to get enough sleep, it's not good sleep. That's a key player. Bottom line to most every disorder that we have plaguing our country is inflammation. One of the biggest ways to increase inflammation is not getting any sleep or not getting enough or good quality sleep. The other thing is they're too busy. They're too stressed out to get much exercise. Even stretching, even walking a set of stairs, going in and out of the office, they don't get any exercise. Our bodies are designed to move. They're not designed to sit. And even the research now says sitting is the new smoking. It's a major factor of our inactivity.
Well, with our devices and everything else, people are on their iPads or iPhones.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
so constant. They're not physically moving. They have too much stress. There's no reduction. So no sleep, no exercise, too much stress. And what do they do for food? They either don't eat or they grab what they can, and maybe a vending machine offering, or they
candy
might...
bar, Coke, and a bag of chips.
Absolutely. Or they run to the nearest drive-thru. They don't know where the grocery stores are even that have salad bars they could run into instead. And it's not everybody. There's a lot of people that are really trying very hard to clean up their act and do the things that are right for them. But unfortunately, there's as many people who don't, and they don't realize that those lifestyles and what we find is the most important thing for us to do is taking us out. And I, you know, it goes back to, you never hear of anybody saying, oh, on their deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time in the office.
No?
No, you don't ever hear that.
I'm not going to go there.
No, don't go there.
No, this becomes a family feud at that
point.
Yes, it does. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. My guest in studio, none other than Sue Rozell, the head of our Functional Medical Nutrition Department at the Rozell Center for Healing. We're talking about cardiovascular disease, and we want to kind of open that subject up to you. If you're on medications, if you have a problem, if you're starting to feel pain in certain parts of your body, we're going to talk about the neurology. We're going to talk about the biochemistry, all of those things that affect you that, listen, this is something that's very preventable and reversible, and we're going to give you some of the indicators and what to do about that. It's very straightforward. If you like yourself, you like your life, you want to be on the planet for a period of time, here's an opportunity. Let's get it done. We're coming up to a break. We're here at 888-630-9625. We'll be right back. Don't go away after these important messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and we're in studio. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Give us a call. And again, enjoy Memorial Day. And by the way, those of you who are out there, you know, with Rolling Thunder, that's a cool thing.
That is cool.
That's like very fun to watch. Never had the opportunity to participate, but, because I promised my wife I wouldn't ride motorcycles anymore. Long time ago. And you know, we won't say what happened the first time I broke that promise to you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the promise was made.
Yeah, uh-huh. I know. So we won't go there. Anyway, I hope you're all having fun and having a great day. Sue, we're talking about cardiovascular disease and something that costs this country $200 billion a year. It's responsible for one out of every four deaths across the board. We're talking about people having heart attacks about every 40 seconds. It's crazy.
It's scary.
It's scary.
And at younger ages.
Much younger ages. I had a patient that came in. He's in his late 30s. He's already had 3 heart attacks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm saying, you know, what's that all
and
about?
And the fact he survived them was great.
I know, because the younger you are,
the worse your possibility of survival.
That's right.
Yeah, you want to be old to have a heart attack if you're going to have one.
Yeah, and because you develop this collateral circulation, this extra circulation.
And there again, it's something that is the end point of years and years of years of the wrong kind of living.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk. We've got a few minutes. Let's talk about bad habits that bring us to this place, that, you know, that we're having such a monumental problem with cardiovascular disease and loss of circulation and heart attacks and all the things that go along with it.
Well, I think a lot of it, like I touched on just a few minutes ago, when we don't eat like we should. And most people who don't eat the way they should, they know that. They know they're not supposed to be having Coke and candy bars for lunch. They also know they're not supposed to go without eating. We have a lot of folks that are scared to death of a kitchen, so they don't want to eat the kind of foods that they need to eat. Because they think it's going to involve hours of cooking and preparation. They don't want to go to the grocery store and all these other things. People don't exercise like they need to. There's a lot of people who do. This is not for the people who are out there eating well and exercising and riding their bikes and having fun and going fun places and laughing and having a great time. This is for the people who are pounding the pavement, literally, 80, 90 hours a week, not getting any sleep, under too much stress, no time to eat. All of these things create inflammation, and it's actually inflammation that is the culprit, that is the foundation causative factor of almost everything that takes us out, whether it's heart disease, cancer, autoimmune.
So everybody's hearing inflammation when it comes in. You know, I talk about it on the program all the time. But for our listeners, inflammation is what? It's like
a fire. It's like your body is on fire. You have chemicals in the body that... Let's back up. Inflammation isn't always awful. In fact, without it, you don't survive.
You can't heal.
You cannot heal because it is a major tool for our immune system that it goes and
creates. But it's a process that's gotten out of control.
It's to help increase the healing capacity and bringing the circulation, the white cells to fight whatever the disorder is. The problem is when it gets out of control. It's like a fire. A campfire is wonderful. A match doesn't do you any good. Campfire is wonderful, warm, cooks your food, it's pleasant, it's enjoyable. A forest fire is devastating. People have forest fires inside of them, and it disrupts all of the systems for repair, all the systems for proper utilization of hormones and chemicals. It upsets the entire endocrine system. It upsets the brain. It creates a decrease in the brain's ability to repair itself and also to increase its capability. So that's called learning. It also damages the vasculature and to the heart. It damages the peripheral nerves to the body.
You know, here's the situation. People, you know, live with stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we start seeing, you know, we talk about a metabolic pattern. Metabolic syndrome, you have, you know, body fats generally starting to move up, blood pressure starting to move up, your
insulin not being responsive,
and you start seeing all of these things taking place, and they're all lifestyle in their initiators and their mm-hmm. trigger mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So we set ourselves up for a problem. Then you get people, you know, and what I want to back up a little bit on your inflammatory comment. Inflammation, as you said, is something that we have to have to heal with. But it's inflammation out of control.
Out of control.
So here's inflammation out of control. Somebody's in pain all the time. And that pain pattern that never goes away, that headache that you have every day, causes inflammatory reactions and starts affecting the blood vessels and the heart and so forth. Inflammatory levels are the foods that you shouldn't be eating. And they cause a triggering mechanism to protect you, but you're always eating them, so the inflammatory levels are higher and higher all the time. Living in a cave, the houses that we live in, also are problematic. I want to get into that more, and I want to interpret some blood work that people may be misdirected on, and I think they're going to find interesting after we come back from the break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about cardiovascular disease, and who better to do that with than Sue Rozelle? And not because she is an initiator of those things, but nevertheless, she knows a whole lot about how to fix it.
This is not going well.
No, it's not going well. But that's what happens, you know, when we're supposed to be outside and we're in studio and, you know, I have to be silly sometimes.
Bring the sun lamp in here next time.
That's right. That's exactly right. I suffer from inside phobia. I don't want to. Sue, seriously, let's get back talking about the subject a little bit. Physicians send their patients out and, you know, they do the traditional total cholesterol, they do HDLs, LDLs, the good guys, the bad guys, they do triglycerides, and then they come up with these silly ratios. So the first thing that I want to let our listeners know is that that lipid panel was designed by the drug companies. And if you'd noticed over the years, even taking that panel, when I was in school many years ago, a normal cholesterol was 235. And anything under that was acceptable. The LDL levels, which are supposed to be bad guys, normally was accepted at 130 or 135. And today they skewed those, and you see them dropping down. And now they want you under 200 for your total cholesterol, and now they want that LDL under 100. It's designed to put more people on statins and blood thinners and medication across the board. But let's talk about, Sue, what the real pieces are.
You also have to go back and take a look at it. People's cholesterols are there for a purpose. We don't have bad stuff in our bodies. We do bad things to our bodies, but we don't have bad stuff to start out with. So the cholesterol, as they were doing more research, they were discovering that cholesterol was causing more and more trouble, so they made more pills and they wanted to drop things down. But they didn't really take a look at what the composition of those cholesterols were, okay? So in other words, there's not one HDL. There's actually three different forms. There's not one LDL. There's actually four different forms. Two of the LDL forms are really good for you, and without them, you die, because cholesterol is an essential ingredient for every cell of our body, our hormones, and for survival.
So in other words, when they drop the cholesterol down and, you know, down to 140, 150, 160, particularly as we get older, mm-hmm. they're basically killing people.
They are. And Mother Nature naturally increases our cholesterols as we get older to protect us, because we need it for healing. It is a key ingredient for making hormones. It is a key ingredient for the covering of our brain and our nerves, called the myelin sheath. It is a key ingredient in every cell membrane of our bodies. That's what keeps our cells in the shape that they're supposed to be in and not letting them go every which way, and we look like Gumby. The cholesterol is not evil. Now, there's some portions of it that can shift into a problematic form, but that is driven by an inflammatory response again, where the body has taken the wrong pathway. So within the LDLs, when they drop those down to 40s and 50s, and sometimes even lower than that, you're now depriving the individual of the very substance he needs for survival. So that's where we run into some problems. This is why they say a lot of times the medication side effects and the effects of the medication itself are more damaging and devastating than the disease process itself.
You know, the interesting thing is that when they look at disease processes or the side effects of these medications, they forget about one group of the population. It's the older group of the population that have been on these drugs for a long period of time. And when somebody dies or their heart stops or goes into AFib and they shut it down, they look at it and categorize it as old age. Mm-hmm. They don't look at the drug itself. Mm-hmm. The drug doesn't have – it's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened, you know, years ago with Celebrex and
Vioxx.
Right. They were high aspirin prescriptions. Mm-hmm. And the side effect was cardiovascular failure.
Right.
People would die. They
and
would drop dead.
And that's why they were using them, is to prevent the cardiovascular problems. But back to the cholesterols, there's also one form of cholesterol that they never really check, and it's called an intermediate density lipoprotein, IDL. That's a bad guy. It's always a bad guy, no matter what. And it can be promoted by poor lifestyle. And it is that form, along with the bad forms of the LDLs, that create the problem within the vasculature. But you can't see those things in a standard cholesterol panel. You have to go and do a more expanded panel. But again, we're just talking cholesterol. And when you look at the whole picture, you want to not only look at how the cholesterol breaks down. In other words, if someone has a high cholesterol, but it's all the good HDL form and it's all the good LDL forms and their triglycerides are in a normal range, those people need to leave their cholesterol alone because Mother Nature is taking good care of them.
And if they go after it medically, they're actually going to produce, as the doctor said, that we listen to, it's actually going to produce the problem they're trying to avoid.
Exactly, exactly. And cholesterol is a big focus because there's a lot of medications for it. And it's something that people can grab a hold of and kind of understand. But it's only a very, very small part of what creates the cardiovascular disorder.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Sue Rozelle. We're talking about cardiovascular disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it, and that you don't have to necessarily be on the medications that you're on. But again, this is a discussion that you need to have with your physician. And ask them the tough questions. Ask them, get this information and say, hey, what do you know about this? Is this true? And then, Sue, what happens is that they stutter step around the issue, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So where did all these parameters come from? Where, why? Why did they keep dropping the cholesterol levels? Why did they say, you know, cholesterol is bad for you? To the point where we see our patients that walk in, older people with lower cholesterols, way low, and they feel like
awful.
Hell.
Yeah, they feel awful. I'm not sure. It's coming from their studies. But again, studies can be manipulated and results can be manipulated. And it depends on who's doing those studies. It depends on who's funding those studies. A lot of the studies that the information comes from, that they create the standard of care, if you will, comes from studies that were funded by pharmaceutical companies.
Well, AstraZeneca and Merck have to be two of the big players.
Huge.
And they fund those studies. So you think they have, it's like having the fox in the chicken house?
Uh-huh. And Bayer and all these other big pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they stand to profit humongously amount of money in their use of these medications. And we're talking one small aspect of heart disorder. Doesn't talk about inflammatory markers. It doesn't talk about the insulin levels of patients. It doesn't talk about their blood sugar levels. All of these things play a major role. It doesn't talk about their iron level. Do they have a high ferritin and iron level in their bodies? All of these are other aspects that contribute to heart disease, not just cholesterol.
Yeah, they don't go after it. And, you know, even in our practice, there are other markers. And the test that you were talking about, we've been talking about, is called a VAP test. And, you know, there are laboratories that will do the test if you can get your doctors to do the make the order. The problem is, they said, well, your insurance company won't pay for it. Well, there's a cash lab out there. It's called Principal Labs, and we use it in the office. And
they don't do that one anymore. SpectraCells is when we use it.
So is SpectraCells doing it now? Okay, so I've been corrected by the boss. So here's
sorry.
No, seriously, but you can still get it done, and it gives you all the fractionated portions. It's not an expensive test if you order the test. And a lot of these other things, and if you can't get that done, what you should order as well is coronary C-reactive protein, which is an inflammatory marker, homocysteine levels, which is an inflammatory pathway marker, just doing those things. And then the other thing should be serum iron, serum ferritin. Sue, let's talk about iron.
Okay.
And it's one that a lot of people don't measure, and it's a very important measurement when it comes to cardiovascular disease. If your iron level sitting in your blood is too hard or too high, why is it a problem?
It's inflaming. It's a heavy metal. Iron is essential for our body, but we only need a very small amount of it. And we have all kinds of protective mechanisms throughout our system to keep too much iron from entering into our brain and our heart and our liver and all the other places. And that storage system is called ferritin. And if you have too much iron in your body, instead of being a positive ingredient that we need, a positive trace mineral, it then becomes an inflammatory or a poisonous metal, just as mercury would or aluminum or other things. It's just we have a built-in way to secure it from allowing it to get too far into the body. But even still, high iron levels, high ferritin levels create inflammation within the vasculature, within the blood vessels themselves. And that can be a starting point for hypertension and hardening of the arteries, arteriosclerosis, or even inflammation of the walls causing plaquing, atherosclerosis. Okay.
And if you, you know, it goes back to dietary patterns. And if you take a look at why people's ferritin levels will rise up, is across the board. It can be supplementation. You got to look at what you're taking. Most of you should not be taking a multiple vitamin or any vitamin that has iron in it.
Unless you're a menstruating female or a teenager.
Absolutely. And then you need more of it and have it a biologically available type of iron, because you're adding insult to potential injury. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that are very preventable. We go down to the you know, the Revco Pharmacy or CVS or Rite Aid, and we grab a multiple vitamin, or we go to Costco, we grab a multiple vitamin. Invariably, across the board, they have iron in them. And you're hurting yourself,
right?
Unless you are truly anemic.
Right. There are some people that do have some problems with iron, and we're not talking about the exceptions now. We're talking about the general rule. The iron itself, a deficiency causes anemia, and excess causes inflammation, and we want to be in the mid-range. Most men and non-menstruating women need to keep their iron level somewhere between 40 and 60 nanograms on a standard iron test. And a lot of us have a much higher than that. You just don't want it to be very, very low, and you don't want it to be very, very high. And there's some thought that high ferritin levels may indicate an underlying infection somewhere, which is also contributing to the inflammation pattern. So it all comes back to the same thing. It's inflammation that causes the trouble, not the cholesterol.
And you look at these ferritin, and I'm glad you brought that up, because both of us have been, you know, kind of looking at the whys behind the high ferritin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that things, particularly like mold levels, will drive iron because of the inflammatory production mm-hmm. that's within the system. So, you know, you have to look at all the different pieces of the puzzle when you're evaluating cardiovascular pathways and problems.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not a simple thing. Nothing that happens in our body is simple. It's a very complex, and I think we get into trouble when we try to simplify it. And that's part of what happens, I think, with a lot of the, quote, standard of care, is how can we simplify it? How can we make it one size fits all? But that doesn't work, because one size never fits anybody.
Let's talk about magnesium and cardiovascular health. It's extremely important.
Oh, it's huge.
And it's something that is overlooked on an ongoing basis by virtually everyone. Well, I had my magnesium level, and my doctor told me it was fine. Well, there's magnesium and there's magnesium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can, and people look at you like, well, what do you mean? Well, if even start with, there are many different transport pieces of magnesium, from magnesium glycinate, magnesium citrate, magnesium aspartate, gluconate, so forth. And those end pieces are how the body takes magnesium and transports it into the system. Why do we need magnesium for cardiovascular health?
Well, for one thing, for people who have blood pressure issues, magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker, which is a pharmaceutical drug used for hypertension, both in the brain and also vascular, peripheral. It's natural. It has no side effects. It does the same thing as a calcium channel blocker medication, but it doesn't deplete the body of anything else. They don't know how many different systems require magnesium. So far, the latest count is 3,700 different activities the body requires magnesium for.
3,700,
yes.
Oh, that's just a few. You know, we don't have to. We'll memorize those after the show.
Of those 500 different enzymes in the body do not function without adequate amounts of magnesium. Now we're talking about every aspect that affects the body. We're talking bone health, we're talking inflammation, we're talking hormone, we're talking everything involved in energy production is all affected by magnesium, and it's a natural anti-inflammatory. Well, gee, go figure.
You know, interesting thing about magnesium, it's the number one most deficient mineral that exists for all human beings.
That's right, because about 75 or 80 years ago, the average diet provided people with about 500 milligrams of magnesium. Now the average diet, a good diet, people who eat well, maximally can get somewhere between 150 to 200 milligrams. So it's, again, our nutrient depletion of our soils, the way we produce our foods.
So you burn that up under stress.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
It's gone.
And there are some people that believe that magnesium levels 1 to 2 grams, we're talking 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of magnesium a day, providing you don't get loose stools with that, is an optimal range. And everybody gets nervous when their magnesium gets above 300 milligrams. So we're all running around in a deficient state. But it's a huge, huge, important nutrient that has zero side effects and is beneficial and across the board for multiple different systems in the body.
It's mind-boggling when we see patients walk into our office and so many different things are interconnected. You can have neuromuscular problems, and it's a magnesium problem. You have cardiovascular problems, and it's a magnesium problem. You have mentation, thought process that are depleted, and it's a magnesium problem. And it goes on and on. It's just one of those things that can so easily be fixed. And if you change your diet a little bit, you'd be surprised how much, because patients, well, can I fix it with the diet? Yeah, you can, but you got to do a good job with it.
Yeah, and even with that, it's marginal.
And it's marginal because of the depletion of the foods,
right,
and the soils and so forth. When we come back after the break, I want to talk a little bit about the statins and how they deplete a couple things, CoQ10 and K2.
Yeah.
Very, very important when it comes to cardiovascular health. Don't go away. We're coming up to break. My guest in studio, Sue Rozell. We're talking about cardiovascular disease and health. 888-630-9625 is how you find us. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live. We've been in studio. 888-630-9625 is how you find us here. And when you're not here, check us out at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com. You know, Sue, there's interesting diagnostic that can be done to measure some aspects of cardiovascular disease, and that's thermographic imaging. Mm-hmm. And because it can pick up the carotid arteries, and you can see if there's an inflammatory level there. Generally, if your carotid arteries are inflamed, you got inflammation everywhere, sure, in your arterial bed, because by the time it reaches that level, we have a problem. And, you know, if you'd like to know more about the effects of thermography, go to Thermography Centers of Fairfax and check it out. And also you can reach out to our office as well and contact Dareth Painter, and she'll get back to you and she'll talk to you about that as well. Sue, I mentioned before the break that I'd like to discuss some of the interesting side effects of the statins.
Okay, I wanted to add one more little detail about magnesium before we move on.
Okay, great.
Okay. They've done some studies, and using magnesium in intravenous injections with people who have heart attacks has significantly decreased those people dying from those heart attacks, and also promoting a better recovery period in the 5 years following. They use IV magnesium, and again, this has to be done through your doctor, to treat congestive heart failure and arrhythmias. And they found that low levels of magnesium, and so this is why doing a red blood cell magnesium test to get an idea of what your status is a very valid and important predictor of sudden cardiac death risk factors. So if you have people in your family that just drop over without any preliminary hints that they had a heart problem, you want to make sure you get your magnesium checked. And they also have used it to treat atrial fibrillation.
It's one of the best things you can use for.
So that it settles down and regulates the electrical system of the heart, and it starts putting the heart back into a normal rhythmic pattern without the use of all the other medications that they have to do.
Let's talk about, we only have a couple minutes, so let's talk about those interesting pieces of statins.
Okay.
Okay, so they deplete coenzyme Q10 and K2.
They actually block the ability of the body to make the CoQ10.
So why is that important?
Well, because it's the carrier that gets the glucose into the energy parts of the cell, and that's what powers the cell to do its job. Well, if that happens to be the cells of the heart, which is the most important muscle of your body, now you've got congestive heart failure.
What's this K2 thing all about?
K2 is part of the K complex, vitamin K. K1 is involved with clotting. K2 is involved in a number of different metabolic processes, but also in the regulation of calcium in the body. And it is essential for being used in anybody taking vitamin D, and especially if they take calcium, to make sure the calcium goes where it belongs, which is your bones and not your arteries and your kidneys. K2 is also essential in a number of other processes within the system itself, as far as manipulating the mineralization in the system. It is not involved with clotting, however.
So let me ask you a question about K2. We only have a short time right now. Will K2 take calcium out of the arterial walls?
Over a period of time, yes, if you take enough of it in the right form. And generally the MK7 of K2, it's a specific form of vitamin K2, is what you can use to help reverse the deposition of calcium in soft tissues where you don't want it, and getting it to move into the body, into the bone structure.
So we're looking at it as a natural, gentle chelator almost.
Absolutely.
And be able to balance that out and make it happen.
Absolutely.
You know, this is information that everybody should have so they can have a decent intellectual conversation with their doctor. And trust me, if you know this stuff, you're going to know more than most of your doctors have any idea about. We're coming up to the break. Unfortunately, it's way too short. We'll see you next time, same station next week. Sue, thank you very much. It's always more than fun. We love you all. Bye.